It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
We're back. Welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So exciting to have a podcast.
Yes.
Posted on Christmas.
Yes. I'm still drinking.
I would love it if someone was listening to us on Christmas. I mean, a brand new episode on Christmas.
That would be beautiful.
But I'll bet that's not happening.
Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that knows if you've been bad or good, but doesn't care. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 198, our first ever Christmas episode on Christmas.
Yes.
We've had Christmas
episodes. It's the 18th for us, but I mean, we're posting it on Christmas. Yeah, I don't want to see him on Christmas.
We've called previous episodes Christmas episodes, but they weren't posted on Christmas. A little bit before, a little bit after.
Yes, this is the first Thursday Christmas we've had since we started the podcast.
That's right.
Which is kind of weird because we've done it for quite a few years now, but I guess it happens. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, Merry Christmas. We have a hat. It's magical. Has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All good God-fearing people email that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little snippets, little questions, comments, topics, things like that. The hat, magically, all on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Part-time baristas draw the cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
They just show up in there.
And we just recorded an episode like 15 minutes ago. And I'm drinking.
And you really should write the hat. You know,
please.
It seems like it's been a while since we told people to write the hat.
I've been trying to say almost every episode.
I know.
Because the hat's been a little thin on the ground lately.
So we should tell people to write the hat.
Write the hat. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also go to the blog. Wish us Merry Christmas or whatever.
And if you don't write the hat, it will make baby Jesus cry.
Yes.
So
I feel like some of our listeners like the idea of making baby Jesus cry.
Well, that's just wrong.
Yeah. Those people, write the hat anyway. Damn it. So here we are at Peter's Donuts. Anyway.
Christmas.
To talk about.
Yeah, you do.
Yes.
But where
are you right now?
I was
now?
Just going to ask you the same thing. I'm
in Chillicothe, Illinois with my family.
Okay. I never know precisely where I'm going to be, but it's always about 100 miles from
the
here.
The Des Moines area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indianola is going to take a little farther to where my sister lives. It's like 30 minutes further to drive if we're there.
But no kids are coming home, are they?
No.
None.
So
that'd be interesting.
So, but if I'm at my dad's near Knoxville, Iowa, Meltyr, Dallas, Iowa, or if I'm in Ankeny, where one of my brothers lives, which is just a suburb of Des Moines, or if I'm in Des Moines, where one of my other brothers lives, it's pretty much the same difference in terms of driving.
Yeah.
It's only my sister that's like 30 minutes further in Indianola, Iowa. So it's all the same. They can tell me that day, and it's going to be the same to me.
And I'm in Chillicothe, Illinois right now with my family. Hopefully posting this episode.
Better remember.
Yeah. So, I should explain, now that a week has passed, why I'm drinking. I'm drinking because I got this gift today. But, here's the deal.
Okay.
Interesting facts about my workplace.
You can drink there.
Actually, just today was the holiday party, and they did have drinks, but I didn't have any.
Didn't imbibe.
No. I don't drink very often anymore.
Yeah, you've said that.
And also, they have kind of shitty, like beers I don't like and bad wine. So, but just in general, I don't know, not my thing. But So my department, or department within my group, did a holiday cubicle decorating contest.
Oh.
They thought it'd be fun, you know, festive, that kind of thing. Among the many people I support and have for a long time, a group in test development that works on accessibility, making tests accessible to everyone. The obvious answers being things like, you know, Braille tests for the blind and stuff like that.
Sure.
But it's way more involved than that. Anyway, they work on this stuff. And of that group, which consists of five people, four of them telecommute. Three of those four from New Hampshire and one from Michigan.
Wow.
So apparently in a meeting they had, they were sort of lamenting the fact that they don't get to be sort of involved in this stuff. They don't have a cubicle to decorate, you know, that sort of thing. So they got an idea. The cubicle decorating was called Deck the Cube, you know, like Deck the Halls.
Yeah, I get it.
They came up with Deck the Dude. And what they did was they shipped to me a box of Christmas crap. Silly hats, garlands, ribbons, little light-up snowman necklaces, things like this. And I wore them. They decorated me throughout the week.
Oh, so each person got a turn.
No, they just sent me a bunch of crap and said, do it.
Oh.
And I actually came up. There were three different hats, and so I sort of separated things into three different outfits and did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
And then today, I wore one of the hats and one of the little light-up necklaces for the holiday party, just to be sort of festive. But it was way more elaborate, the earlier outfits.
Today was a week ago to the listener.
Yes, which was on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I won't do anything tomorrow. But they apparently want to say thank you by sending me stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
And it just apparently is going to continue. But today I got this bottle of beer. And so I said thank you. And I said, I have two episodes of the podcast tonight. Maybe I'll drink it and we'll see what happens. And it's a rye pale ale, which is not something I'd ever heard of. But I tend to be a fan of pale ales. It's not bad. I'm kind of into it.
So it's local to the person who sent it to you.
Yes, it is from New Hampshire.
How thoughtful.
Yes. 603 Brewery. And I wrote them an email immediately thanking them, telling them it was unnecessary, but thanking them. And they wrote back, and the person who sent this wrote back and said, you're welcome. And she said, and she just found out that it's illegal to ship alcohol through the mail. Which is true. I found that out when I was in college.
I guess I didn't know that.
Neither did she.
I mean, there's no way that I would know that, I guess, now that I think about it. How would I ever know something like
exactly.
that?
Exactly. But I'm glad she did, because it's tasty. Anyway, I was going to talk about my week, which is now 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago,
because things happened. Okay, there's a couple things I want to talk about.
Right.
The first one is just something that I learned of. This is not something that has happened yet. So I've not seen it, but I have learned of it. It's a new television show coming out, I believe, on the Wii Network. Wii TV. It's called Sexbox. That's the name of the show.
Okay.
On this show, a couple who are having marital difficulties come onto the show and talk with, I believe, a couple of therapists and the host, who's a comedian and podcaster, of course, about their marital issues. Then they go into an enclosed box that's on stage, that's completely enclosed so you can't see inside of it, in which they have sex. And then immediately come back out and discuss it. And that's a TV show.
So, okay. So, to qualify to be on the show, you have to have some...
Yes, the whole thing is viewed as essentially therapy.
I get it, but... I mean, every couple has problem. So
yes, yes,
there must be some
difficulties that they need to have worked with. I don't know.
So any couple, really,
theoretically,
as long as they can pick out one of the problem, like leaves the toilet seat up or whatever. If that would probably qualify, as long as they want to be on the show and they'll have sex with each other in the box.
Potentially, yes. And apparently it's based off of a quite successful, I want to say, Dutch show of the same name.
And so you go on
British
there,
show, I'm not
and
sure.
you sort of talk about your issues, which might not have anything to do with sex.
No, it's not meant to be sexual issues. The reason for...
But they could be.
It could be, but it's not. That's not the point.
All right.
The reason that we're having sex and then coming out and talking and everything is apparently there are some theories that one tends... There's some research that shows right after sex, you're more open and honest communicatively. And so that's the idea, is they have sex and then they talk and then... In theory, there'll be more.
But why does it have to be in a box, quote unquote, on stage and all that? Why that part of it?
Because it's a goddamn TV show.
Is that really the only reason, or is there some kind of like?
I don't believe there's anything magical going on in the box. No.
Well, what some therapists will tell people who are having marital problems to do is do something adventurous in their sex life, because for a lot of reasons. I mean, for one, they might be having. Whatever other problems they're having might be having impact on their sex life,
absolutely,
for one thing.
Absolutely.
But also because if you do something different than you're used to doing, it can sort of, I suppose, kind of along the lines of that, what you were saying about that research, it can kind of open you up to the possibilities of other things too, not just sex.
Yes.
So maybe this is seen as something that's so unusual and so, I don't know, you know, different from what they're used to, and if they can manage somehow in this unusual situation to actually have sex and they're not too nervous or something like that, then maybe psychologically it'll unblock some difficulty they're having.
I believe what I said to the producer about this was, this all makes a great deal of sense for how to proceed in your marital counseling and therapy. Makes absolutely no sense to be a goddamn TV show.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
That's the thing.
I'm just
sort of
searching for some kind of.
And I am not. I am full on decrying this as the fall of humanity.
Okay.
Because here's the thing.
That's what I would say, obviously. But
this sounds like a TV show that was featured in a deleted scene in Idiocracy. This is just one of those where I feel like we're getting closer to a comedic dystopia that a lot of movies... Like, seriously, 10, 20 years ago, there would have been a sci-fi movie where in the future we have this exact TV show.
Although...
And now we just have this exact TV
show. But they aren't a box. I mean...
That's true. If you're going to put it into a movie, it's going to be more exciting if there's a window in the box or something.
Or there's some way to watch them or to...
That'll come next. And actually, that already has happened. Big Brother, in other countries, you actually have seen people have sex, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Or I was going to say, tell the people that you're in this box is completely, you know, nobody can hear anything, nobody can see anything, and then, of course, make that a lie.
This is
which would be horrible, but
yes.
You can imagine that
but
happening
television.
And being very popular.
It's already pretty hard.
I just thought there might be some veneer of explanation for this, not just, we're just going to do this because it's bad TV.
No, because it's good therapy. and the other thing is I saw a movie.
Okay.
Oh, I do also want to say, still loving Constantine.
Okay.
I'm watching the shit out of it. Still really like it.
Are they're in hiatus now?
Not yet. No.
This tomorrow night's going to be their last movie for hiatus?
I think so. It's a 13-episode season. I think we're only about 6, maybe 7 episodes in.
So, like a lot of the other episodes.
Oh, that's true. They might split it up. I don't know. But I know we're still having one tomorrow night.
Gotham's in hiatus right now. Arrow and Flash are both in
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which
ended really stupid.
So I don't know why Constantine wouldn't.
We'll have to see. It's a different network, so who knows.
It's on Fox, right?
No, it's NBC.
Oh, NBC, that's right.
And it's a shorter season
Gotham's
than the
on
other
Fox.
Ones, so it could be, you know, who knows how they'll split it up.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm slightly more interested on S.H.I.E.L.D. now. They're doing that Agent Carter show, and I was completely not interested. But apparently, it's not a full-on show. It's a 7-part miniseries.
Oh.
And I'm like, it basically appears to be what they're showing during the S.H.I.E.L.D. hiatus. I'm like, I might watch that. I don't know yet. But probably not. Anyway, still love Elementary. That still might be my favorite show on television. The season was a little bit weird starting, but I'm getting into it. But anyway, saw a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The other night, we were going to watch something, and the producer's like, let's watch a movie instead of a TV. It's like, okay. So I went to go to Netflix, and I'm like, wait, we have HBO Go now. They've got movies. So we went there. The first thing that popped up was they had 47 Ronin. You familiar with 47 Ronin?
Well, I've heard of it, yeah.
Weird Japanese swords and sorcery fantasy movie starring Keanu Reeves. That is inspired by an actual Japanese folktale slash historical event. And from the trailers, looks like it's going to be really stupid, but has all sorts of amazing special effects. So we've always been like, yeah, let's watch. So we decided to watch it. Don't watch it.
Okay.
It's awful. And it's not even... I mean, don't get me wrong. We made fun of it constantly because we had to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even a good one to make fun of.
Gotcha.
My working theory is there was no script. Because the plot is just about unintelligible. There's a lot of things that, like, people in the movie know about that they couldn't know about unless they, like us, saw scenes involving other people that they were not present for, that nobody told them about. And it's a mess. And very confusing. A lot of people in it. Probably some my racism, because it has a lot of Asian men in it, and I confused a lot of people. I started giving them nicknames. The one that looked vaguely Russian was named Dostoevsky. The fat one was named Chunk, because there's a fat one, and guess what? He's basically comic relief. So I called him Chunk, after the guy from Goonies. He's an entertainment lawyer, by the way, now. Not Chunk, the character, the actual actor. And it's awful. It's really, really... And here's the funny thing. So we look it up afterwards, the actual original story, because it's a big deal. Apparently, there's like a day of the year where people go to the graves of the 47 Ronin and like leave flowers and shit. And like, it's a huge thing. The original story of the 47 Ronin is pretty much crap. And I don't mean that it didn't happen. I mean that it's a terrible story. It's supposed to be this great story of loyalty in the face of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is there's a samurai guy, and there's another samurai guy. And the shogun tells the first samurai guy, you get to host this, I don't even remember what it was, some gathering thing where the shogun was showing up. In this one, it's a tournament, but I think in this one it was like diplomatic talks or something. I don't know. But he's going to host the shogun and other samurai guy and, I don't know, lots of important people. So, this happens. While this happens, one night, samurai guy draws his weapon on other samurai guy. Nobody knows why. At all.
Okay.
Samurai guy is ordered by the shogun to kill himself because it's feudal Japan and this is the best case scenario. He commits ritual suicide for his affront. Like 2 years later, all of the samurais that were under him go after other samurai guy and kill him. And then are caught and have to commit ritual suicide. The end.
Hmm.
No. We don't know what. You'll note I didn't say good guy and bad guy. In the movie, there's a good guy and a bad guy.
Hmm.
But in the real thing, nobody knows what the fuck happened. So these guys took it upon themselves to exact vengeance for nobody knows. It's a mess. And the funny thing is, in the movie, bad guy is bad. Bad guy is at fault. Bad guy did terrible things that caused things to happen. Nobody knows that except us, because we saw those scenes. There is no reason to believe that bad guy is bad guy. But we still take vengeance on him. Except there is one possible thing, and I'm convinced a lot of their CGI budget went this way. Bad guy always has a sneer. Like, it doesn't go away. I think it's a CGI sneer. Because it just never goes away. Like, in case you didn't know he was evil, he always has to have that look on his face.
So you think the original story is about how it doesn't really matter what the reasons are. What matters is
clearly
fellas did their duty.
Our boss drew a weapon on this guy, so he must have been mad at him, so we should be mad at him. Let's go kill him.
But a deeper point here is, you know, a certain interpretation of the concept of honor, right? Where, well, you know, we have to do this because this is our duty. This is what our custom tells us we should do.
It still seems very assumptive, even given that. I still feel like you're making some leaps in reasoning to say, clearly our dead boss would want us to go after this fucker.
Well, I don't know what leaps in reasoning I'm personally making. I'm talking about in the cultural context what the story is told.
I'm saying the 47 made some leaps in reasoning.
But maybe they didn't.
That's true. It's all history. We don't know for sure.
Well, but it's also culture. I mean, there are many cultures, and I'm not sure if this applies in this story or not. I can't say that for sure. I haven't, like, researched it or anything. But there are a lot of cultures where it doesn't matter. You don't have to reason it out. All you have to know is that my chief or my leader or my whatever is dead because of that person, and now I am obligated to defend his honor by doing it.
To me, it doesn't matter, he's dead because of the shogun, not because of this other guy. In the story, as I hear it, the other guy didn't do anything.
The shogun did his job.
Yes.
Did his duty, which was, okay, I've seen this guy offend this guy, so now that guy has to go kill himself. The shogun didn't kill him, he killed himself. But that doesn't mean the guys underneath him don't think that, well, so now we're duty-bound to avenge his death, knowing full well that if they did that, they'd have to kill themselves too, just like their leader did. But before they kill themselves and follow their leader as duty and loyalty would dictate, they're going to take the enemy of their master with them.
Imagine your other samurai, and, like, you're with this guy, and he's drunk or some shit, and he pulls a knife on you, and you're like, and people see, and he has to kill himself, and you're like, that sucked. I hate that he has to kill himself, but I don't know what was going on. And then the other 47 guys are like, no, we have to kill him. I was just here. Like, it's a terrible story. What? But here's the thing. Even if it's freaking Hamlet,
okay,
this movie was a terrible version of it. Terrible version of it. And
well, there are some cultures that value, as you said before, loyalty.
Yep.
To a degree that even if it doesn't make any other sense, but for the sake of loyalty itself, you follow through with this activity.
Yeah, no, and I'm saying that I feel like this is a misinterpretation of loyalty.
Well, I suppose it depends on your culture.
If the guy's dying words were, kill that guy for me, you know, then I get it. I mean, it's still terrible in other ways, but I get it then.
Well, I'm not
but
sure.
But I'm not even, they're just like, you know, when he pulled the knife on that guy, clearly.
No, what I'm saying is that it didn't come to that at all. It's just the custom. It's just what they knew they had to do. This is what you do. They didn't think about it. I mean, think about it this way.
They took 2 years to execute it.
Here's something I can speak a little bit to, and that is feuds in the United States and in the southern United States. Those also are based on a certain definition of loyalty and honor. A lot of times you go to kill the person from this other family. You don't know what started this feud. It doesn't matter. All that matters is your honor is wrapped up in whether or not you kill one of theirs.
And I get that when it's one of these big feuds. Well, but this started right here.
Well, what I'm saying is that it's really still the same to them. It doesn't matter if you were there when it started. If you knew what started it, and you're a feuder, I guess, it doesn't matter. Because you're not killing that person to avenge that person. You're killing that person because now it's a matter of honor for you to kill that person. That's what matters now, is your honor. And it's a very specific definition of loyalty and honor, but some cultures define it that way, and so you feel compelled because you've got two choices. You can either gain honor by killing this person, or you can not ever make yourself distinct. You're not going to distinguish yourself or your family. So, you could die trying to earn this honor, but at least you would have made that attempt, and that's going to do something positive for your family. It's just how the culture's set up.
As a cultural anthropologist, this is one of the few things I'm actually qualified for. I have a degree in this.
I know you do.
That
so
culture,
I know you understand exactly what I'm saying.
That culture is wrong. That is an incorrect culture. I did. But anyway, again, even if it's the greatest story ever told, Christmas theme, get it? The movie did a shitty job telling it. And just, seriously, nothing makes sense scene to scene. Like, the dialogue doesn't, like, so often you're like, but what are you, why was that, what? Constantly. Everybody's motivation, other than that central thing, makes no sense. I still don't understand the bad guy's motivation exactly. There's a romance plot in it that's weird. We've got demons in it that I don't understand.
So, like, you've probably watched Westerns before and not really understood what was really going on with, why is this person sacrificing everything around them to kill this guy when, you know, this guy didn't really have anything to do with it, or this guy has a, you know, could just forget about this and have a life.
No.
But you understand those narratives somehow.
I understand all these. If somebody wrongs you, or even wrongs somebody you're loyal to, or even if this person is attached to someone who wronged somebody you're loyal to, I get that. This guy is the son of the guy who beat up my dad. So I'm going to go beat up this guy. That's stupid. I get it, though. I absolutely get it. In this case, my boss did a thing that got him in trouble. He did a thing toward a guy that got him in trouble. So now I'm after that guy. Like, the fact that the guy, and any part of the guy, it's not like some other guy associated with him, the guy had nothing to do with it.
Okay, it's just so weird. But it's really the same situation that you understand. You just, there's a little piece of information missing.
Which is the linchpin piece of information.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. The insult, the initial crime is missing.
Right. So this is your
you
boss.
If you have an initial crime, I understand the concept of spiraling it totally out of control.
Right. What about
in
this,
vengeance.
Well, what about this? This is your boss. Now your job, understand.
Yes.
This is your job, and no matter how stupid or irrational it sounds, this is your job. When your boss draws a weapon on someone, your job is to say, okay, that person is now my boss's enemy because he drew his weapon and is my enemy too. That's your job.
I get that. I don't think that's the scenario. I don't think that's
how do you know? Coast.
Because I'm a little bit familiar with Japanese feudal culture. I went through a phase.
Okay.
Where
so that's what's really going on here is you do know something about the culture over there and you can't think of anything that you're aware of.
Yeah, no. I'm like, from the perspective of feudal Japanese warriors, it still sounds stupid to me.
All right. Well, I mean, I can't argue with that because I have no idea. I don't know anything about, really, Japanese feudal practices. Although that makes sense to me that they would think, hey, when my boss draws a sword, whoever he's pointing that sword at is my enemy from here on out. It doesn't matter if the shogun scolds him and has him commit ritual suicide. I got to go get that
guy
eventually.
Even if my boss is later like, no, he's cool. I'm like, sorry.
Well, maybe.
You shouldn't have drawn the thing.
Maybe, but the boss didn't say that. The boss just...
died.
Committed ritual suicide, which was an admission.
He probably should have left some instructions.
Which, in a way, is an admission of guilt, like saying, yes, I did draw my sword on purpose against that guy. That guy is my enemy.
Well,
and so that's all that they can assume.
And
is
what
that, well,
really makes it
enemy,
stupid
so we have to do
is
something about it.
There probably was stuff. There probably was a reason. Quite a few people probably knew what it was. And there was probably quite a lot of details that we're missing here. But that's the point. They're missing them. Why the hell is this such a famous, upheld story when the details that make it not super stupid are missing?
Because the loyalty is the thing. And that's all you need to know. The rest of it doesn't matter.
Well, you're a terrible person.
Because the loyalty itself is not stupid. So it doesn't matter what the details are. It's not going to make it stupid or not stupid. It is what it is.
It's a terrible story. But more than that, it's a terrible movie.
Well, some cultures really celebrate that kind of thing.
Don't see the movie. I've seen some fantastic pieces of dramatic literature involving Northern Ireland and the feud going on there that are equally pointless, and I understand them.
Okay, okay.
This thing is terrible.
I get it. But, I mean, see, part of why I'm expressing it this way is because I've seen a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot. I've seen a lot more than maybe your average person, you know, stories from Japan, whether it's animation or not, that I didn't entirely understand because it was made for Japanese people, right? And obviously there are enough cultural differences there that when you tell a story in Japan as a Japanese person to other Japanese people, the narrative goes a certain way, and they get it. And for me, as someone who comes from a European background, I tell stories and I'm told stories in a way that Europeans, with a European narrative, and it makes sense to me. And it might just be that some of the things that are really important in a European narrative aren't so important in a Japanese. I mean, in fact, and I know that's true because most of what I can't understand about some Japanese narratives is stuff they're leaving out that a European narrative would include. And it just seems to me maybe this is one of those things.
And the reason I'm not having that reaction right now is because I usually don't have that problem
with having a hard time understanding
yes,
a narrative.
From Asian narrative, I usually get. I do find it different, and I don't often always relate to it the same way. But generally speaking, I understand what they're going for.
Well, I say Japanese
and,
in particular
and the
because
fact that this one story, I'm like, fuck? Like, that's the thing.
I say Japanese in particular because, I mean, I've seen, like, Korean stories, and they seem to make sense, although I sometimes wonder...
I've had this with Chinese cinema as well. There's some stuff there.
If they're not, maybe some of the Korean stories are influenced by Eastern or Western stories, maybe. I have no idea. But, and Chinese stories also... not so much Japanese stories more than other stories that I've seen from Asian countries.
Because I've seen some Japanese narratives that are really fucked up to me, but I understand why. I understand the cultural implications or whatever. And this one, again, I feel like in reality, there's really something to this story, but nobody alive knows what it is. So why are we, like, yeah. but again, the point is moot. Because the story being stupid is the least detail here. The movie's terrible. It's really awful.
We've probably spent more time talking about this than you intended to.
Keanu Reeves. It's terrible.
What else did you
also want to spoiler about? Alert, Chunk dies.
What else did you want to talk about with your week?
Did you
role playing game?
No,
oh no, you're waiting, that's later.
Well, I couldn't because I had a work thing.
Oh yeah.
That I didn't go to. Because Monday night, I got like 4 hours of really bad sleep, and that was it. And I was just a disaster at work. And I was like, my ability to cope with other people has been compromised. So I came home. I didn't even hang out with Trish. I ate a very small dinner, and then I went to bed. I read for a little while, and then I was asleep by 7:15. Mm. 10 hours of sleep, amazing difference. I felt great the next day. And the thing, the work thing, was going to be at Orchard Green downtown, the restaurant, which I'd never been to. And so for date night, I took us there, which is a really nice place, by the way. Mm. Very expensive, but very worth it. It was very nice. I'm kind of excited that I've found a potential new location for like those really fancy dinners if you want to celebrate. Because I'm running out of places that are like that. So that was very cool.
Good.
But yeah, there's not too much else going on. I am done with Fable 3. I've destroyed all the gnomes. I found all the keys. I'm pretty much tired of it. So I bought the anniversary edition of the original Fable.
Oh.
Which is a remake. They've redone the art and stuff like that. And I'm playing that again because I have such a soft spot for that game. I probably won't finish it. I'm basically playing it till Christmas, which is today. Hey, hello, everyone. because the person that I borrowed the Assassin's Creed games from is in Chillicothe. She's my sister-in-law's housemate. Oh. And she's going to lend me Assassin's Creed 4, but I can't get it till I'm there for Christmas. So this is just sort of killing time until then.
Well, I'm kind of hoping we're done with Arkham Origins by, you know, because it's a very, you know, it happens at Christmas, the game does. So I'd hope it, by today, when our people are listening, we're done with it so we can move on to something else.
What do you think you'll play next?
I don't know for certain. We'll have to work that out. But it's just it's really not so much because we're anxious to move on to the next thing as we kind of feel funny about playing a Christmas game when Christmas is over. I don't know. That's weird, I guess, but and it's been fun, so
I feel like I should recommend something to you, but I don't know what.
I guess we'll see. Anything else about your week? Or should we start drawing from the hat? We only drew one last time.
I think that's about it. So, let's go on.
Let's do it.
I finished my beer. See, last night was the first time in, I'm going to say, months that I had any alcohol. And the alcohol I had was one small glass of wine sipped throughout a fairly long meal. Nevertheless, I still had a little buzz because I'm so not used to drinking. I have now drunk 24 ounces of a 6.6% alcohol beer. So, hold on to your butts.
Okay. I was going to say something and I forgot what it was.
Anyway. All right.
Hard hat number one, Mark McKibben.
Hard hat number one.
Asks.
I don't even know if he's still listening.
If William really was cheese, what kind of cheese would he be?
What kind of cheese would he be? Survey says.
Wow. Huh.
That's a dumbass question.
I think I would be.
I like how it says, if William really was cheese.
Like people say that I am.
Yeah, but only metaphorically.
Kind of like people say the moon is cheese.
Yeah.
People say that I'm cheese.
Cheese.
I'd say Swiss. From Switzerland. Not this fake stuff you get.
Why, pray tell?
Oh, you know what? No. Not Swiss cheese from Switzerland.
No. Swiss cheese from Cleveland.
No. Swiss cheese from like an Iowa source, but like Iowa Mennonites or something who really know how to make it, because you know the Mennonites are originally from or are heavily influenced by the Swiss, right? So Mennonites or maybe even Amish people who are making Swiss cheese might actually make it so that it tastes, you know, like Swiss cheese from Switzerland. So this is the best of both worlds. You get Swiss cheese but it's still from Iowa. That's the kind of cheese I'd be.
I just took the mic out of the stage.
I saw that. That was probably very noisy, and people probably didn't even hear what I said.
Now here's
that's what I say.
Okay. Would you like to explain why?
I just did.
No.
Oh.
You explained what?
Well.
Why?
Because it's from Iowa, and I think, you know, that's a pretty big deal for me, being from Iowa. Everybody
you are from
that.
Iowa.
Well, I like being from Iowa. I make a big deal out of it.
Yes.
So
we're prominently from Iowa.
But also, it's my heritage. There's a lot of Swiss Mennonite whatever in my heritage, so I'm going to pick that cheese.
All right, because honestly, it sounded like you didn't answer the question, if you were cheese, what kind of cheese you would be. Sounded like you answered the question, if you could have one kind of cheese, what kind
no, that's,
would
I'm
it
saying
be?
That's the kind of cheese I would be, because it's Iowan and it's Swiss. It's got that,
I feel
that
like
heritage.
That your explanation of what kind of cheese you would be may be the most arrogant thing I've ever heard you say.
Why is that?
Because I think you're coming up with a cheese that you think is you, and I think you came up with, like, the best kind of cheese you can think of.
No, I came up with it because it's from Iowa and because it's Swiss.
Yes, I know, but I think if you were to pick the best cheese ever, you would probably come up with the same one.
Well, let me think about that. There is a cheese,
there's a
Mennonite cheese maker who sells a Swiss cheese.
Sells a Swiss cheese.
At, New Pioneer Co-op.
At New Pioneer.
And I do really like it.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd say it's my favorite.
What is your favorite?
Well, I think my favorite is like Swiss cheese from Switzerland for real. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say because this Swiss cheese is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell it's made by people.
And it's you.
You can tell it's made by
you're
people.
You're eating yourself.
No. You can tell it's made by people who have learned from the masters back in the old world.
Yeah.
It's not this kind of stuff that.
But brought
American Swiss.
Some Iowa sensibility to it.
Or something.
Don't get me wrong. I should specify, objectively, what you said, not that arrogant. But for you, I think it might be the most arrogant thing I've ever heard you say.
All right, that's fine. What cheese do you think I'd be? Some, like, American sliced cheese that doesn't even have any cheese. Velveeta.
I think you'd be head cheese.
That's not
hogshead cheese.
Come on.
I think.
I'm pretty sure he means dairy style cheese.
So not mortadella. Fine. I had a whole reason why you were mortadella. let me think here, William. You'd be soy cheese.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing I've been discussing recently with someone who has recently become vegan. And they're having trouble with this.
Why?
I really like this standless mic thing. I feel like I'm on stage.
Yeah, good.
Anybody here from out of town?
Bothans be spying.
What the fuck was that?
Bothans be spying.
Where the hell did that come from? What sort of weird Star Wars BET mashup was that? By the way, you just named the Christmas episode. So
well, now, wait a minute.
Enjoy that.
Wait a minute. There's a web series called Space Janitors, which I don't think you've ever watched.
I have not.
But I think it's great. I know I've never talked about it because I think it's really brilliant. But anyway, they had...
It's a web series. It's not a comic.
No, it's
a
web series. On
okay.
Geek and Sundry, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
And it's had like 3 seasons now. And so they recently had an episode. And what Space Janitors does is these guys are janitors.
Space janitors.
Space. But they use that setting to riff on Star Trek, Star Wars, just about any space, science, sci-fi thing that you can think of. It's always... there's always something. And anyway, so they decided they were going to do, it was supposed to be a little bit of a parody of the Star Wars Christmas episode, just a little bit.
Okay.
So.
Life Day.
They, Hope Day, I think, is what they called it in the episode.
Nice.
And in the first couple seasons, they were actually part of the Empire, and now they're part of the Rebels, and there's a lot of
management change.
There's a lot of interesting reasons that happened. But so anyway, they're on a rebel base. It's kind of like Hoth, you know,
uh-huh.
and they decided they're going to have a Hope Day pageant.
Ooh.
And this, one, but things go awry, you know, And at one
hope
point,
I didn't unplug anything.
At one point, they have to the guy who's sort of running the pageant has to run backstage to fix some problem that's happened. So he throws his hapless friend out to do some stand up. Just do some stand up.
Oh my God!
And the first thing he says is, "Boffins be spying."
Boffins be spying.
And I thought it was so funny.
Oh Jesus!
And so I said it on the podcast. That's awesome.
You ever notice?
But I don't know if you put it as the title of our thing, Boffins, that might be stealing from
Boffins
them. I don't know.
Boffins be spying.
Yeah.
Well, we are crediting them. Is from Space Janitors web series, YouTube, or Geek and Sundry.
It was really funny.
So go check that out.
Boffins be spying.
I'm planning to check that out. I won't because
it's too bad. Because I think you'd like it.
I'm planning.
I think you'd think it was hilarious.
I'm absolutely planning to.
In fact, there are some things in it that if most of it is the kind of thing I'm watching. I'm thinking, man, I wish I'd written this. Sometimes they go in a direction that I wouldn't have ever written, as you could probably
guess. Kiss Hank's ass for you.
That's a good one too. You really need to.
That is a really good one.
Which I still can't figure out.
I can't explain that.
Wait,
some
background.
Explain that.
There's this video out there that I won't tell you anything about it because you'll link it, right? Or try to link it.
I will link. Well, we'll try and remember. This is going to be a week away,
and you can watch it. But suffice it to say, the reason it's funny, I think most people watch
it. It's a metaphor.
Is because there's a context to it, right?
Yes.
There's a metaphor,
yes.
And that makes it hilarious. So I sent it to Tony. I thought he didn't enjoy it.
And I did.
And he did. And then we went back and forth on it. And finally he admitted to me that when he first watched it and enjoyed it, he didn't get.
Oh, forget that. I watched the entire thing, discussed it with you, listened to Trish watch it, and not until one of the last lines in it on the second hearing of it, did I get the metaphoric context.
Right, so.
Which is the only reason why it should
be funny.
Funny,
that's right.
But it was funny to me before.
I still can't figure that out.
And I can't explain it. And I stand by it. It was funny. It's way funnier now. But it was funny.
I think it's pretty funny.
I think I just appreciate. It was just absurd.
Well,
and
yes,
I just liked that.
Without any context, it seems totally random and weird. Like, what are they talking about? And yet, there's a logical consistency to it. You sense that
there absolutely is.
Yeah, and so it's,
which is why the metaphor works.
And so it could be funny even without understanding the metaphor. I guess.
Yeah.
But without the metaphor, it can't be nearly as funny.
And it is one of those like. I'm not sure how I missed this. I think I live in a weird world where that could have just been a thing that happened. I don't know. It's weird. But it's very... it'll be obvious. And if it's not obvious... Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's obvious. So y'all should get it. And if it's not obvious, you're in the same camp as me, apparently.
Whatever that means.
So, sorry. Ezzy's here. Did Ezzy get it? Did you get it?
Where were we before we started talking about
Boffins be spying.
Well, but before that.
Cheese.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
cheese.
I'm still trying to figure out.
Well, what kind of cheese?
Your cheese.
Because you'll probably be better at saying than me. I'm just using my background to come up with something.
Well, I feel like farm cheese.
Farm cheese.
Have you ever had farm cheese?
Actually, I haven't.
Like Edam cheese or whatever. No, but as I was saying, I have a friend who's trying to go who's going vegan.
Oh, yeah.
And they're having trouble because of cheese.
Because they like cheese.
Because they like cheese, because cheese is awesome. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Vegetarian substitutes have gone a long ways. It's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. All the things they have done now. Corn is amazing. All the things you do with soy and coconut milk, ice cream, all that. Nobody's got a good vegan cheese. Vegan cheese is shit 100% of the time.
Well,
nobody, you're too far removed at this point, I think. I defy you. Bring it to me if you think. I don't believe there is a non-shitty vegan cheese, by which I mean a real cheese, not a cream cheese.
No, you're probably right, because the best thing I've ever had that was non-dairy cheese still had casein in it, which will not make it strictly vegan.
No, it is not at all. In fact, it's not strictly vegetarian if it has casein in it. Doesn't that come from baby cow's stomach lining and some shit?
Well, I mean, no, I think it's in
I'm thinking of rennet. I'm thinking of rennet.
There is a shredded cheese product we use that I don't think has casein in it. That's quite good.
In general, I feel like this is just beyond the scope of the technology at this point.
Because we use it on pizza,
well, okay,
and it tastes great.
What is it? Because I can tell my friend.
It's Daya.
Daya.
Yeah, I think it's D-A-Y-A-I.
Seriously, email me this information.
Daya cheese. And
people need to know
we
this.
We put it on pizza, and it's very good. And I don't think it has casein in it, because I think that was one of the things the other adult in the house would object to.
All right, then. Check that shit out. But, yeah, send me the... Confirm it and send it to me.
But it's shredded. I mean, it's not like you don't get it in a block.
Yeah, but you can make that work. Does it melt? Well, yeah, you use it on pizza, so it must.
But, the weird thing is, like a shredded cheese, you can, take a handful of it and, stick it in your mouth, and it tastes fine. So I don't know why they couldn't make a block out of it. I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, yeah.
I don't understand how that works.
If just the process doesn't start that way. I mean, it's hard to shred cheese, put shredded cheese back into a block, so maybe if the process somehow starts shredded.
Hard to put it back into a block.
Yeah.
That's true.
But
then that company is constantly making other, trying to innovate to make things.
I do believe that someday it can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've finally achieved a decent vegan hot dog.
Yeah,
I think Boca's kind of got some shit. I mean, most of them are still terrible. They're scary. They look like melted candles. Like when you ever try and grill like a smart dog?
Well, the
My god, it looks like something out of a crime scene.
No, I know. The company that makes the best fake sausages and fake hot dogs now is for me is
Morningstar?
No.
Who then?
Field Roast, I think, is what they're called.
Field Roast.
Now, the problem with them is, though, pretty expensive, and they use wheat, so if you are avoiding gluten, you can't have
the product. Yeah, there you go.
But if you're okay with, wheat being used as a...
Yeah.
Gluten being used as a texture for meat or whatever, it's really good. It tastes good, and it's got a good texture in it and everything else. Field Roast, I think, is what it's called.
Also, sounds like a coffee company.
But you don't know what kind of cheese is that I'm
using. I feel like... I don't know. Because, I mean, what is this... What does the question mean exactly? Do I want a cheese that shares characteristics with you? Do I want a cheese that if we were making some sort of cartoon animated cheese, I feel would have your personality and mannerism?
I think a cheese that... If you named it and then gave a pithy explanation for why you're picking it, it would be funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
In that case, you would be goat cheese because I hate you.
What? You don't like goat cheese?
No, I do. I like goat cheese.
Oh, okay. Yeah, something like that, where you say what the cheese is, and then you explain why, and everyone thinks it's funny because, oh yeah, that's a So William, or So Tony about William, or whatever.
That's So Tony about William.
Yeah.
God. That's our new stupid human tricks. For the record, this little strap that normally holds the microphone on, but I'm playing it lounge act style tonight, so... fell on the floor. William picked it up and tossed it back at me such that it went right back to the same spot on the floor. So it was fun to watch him. It looked like it was some sort of experiment where he hits the button to get a pellet, but then, yeah. I want a TV show called That's So Tony About William.
Or maybe a mild cheddar.
Mild cheddar. White. White cheddar.
Mild cheddar, because it's cheddar cheese, but what's really the point?
Oh.
Who eats mild cheddar, really?
I find mild cheddar very useful in places. Any place where you need that subtlety.
Subtlety.
Because sharp cheddar can overpower.
Something feels really meta about what we're doing right now. I don't know what it is exactly.
At this point, I'm just trying to sort of do a beatbox.
Mozzarella.
I don't know why I'm...
Because when you cut into him, he's all stringy.
Mozzarella, because he's everywhere, but doesn't really have a flat... Wait. He'd be green Sporneck cheese because I don't think he really exists.
You see, this is a fun game.
Mark
McKibben has given us something fun.
I'm fascinated by this idea. I'm not positive I can sleep tonight for thought of what kind of cheese you are.
Well, you know what? If you're creative enough, a person could suggest any cheese, all cheeses even, and you could pick, you could find some reason to say, yes, that's the cheese he is because of what?
Do it. Give me a cheese.
Give you a cheese?
Give me a cheese.
Italian Gorgonzola.
Italian Gorgonzola. All right. William is like Italian Gorgonzola in that everybody thinks it sounds really impressive, but then when they actually experience it, they say, oh, that's what that is? Yeah, that's gross. And I've literally seen that happen to William on multiple occasions. I say, you're going to meet William Wright. And they say, really?
Okay.
Awesome. And then he shows up and they're like, that's William Wright? Gross. Give me another one.
Parmesan.
William is like Parmesan in that ideally, if he's fresh and still in one block, he's pretty good. But most of the time, you can just find him where he's been grated into a stupid plastic tube and really doesn't taste like much. I feel like I have no hang of this whatsoever.
Really reaching on that one? How about ricotta?
William is like ricotta in that he's fundamental to the creation of many things, but nobody likes him on his own, and also most people mispronounce his name.
That's right.
I feel good about that.
That's actually true. People miss that it's William with two L's. They miss that all the time.
Wait, what? That's not a thing.
That was a pretty good joke, though.
That was not bad.
Let's see. Let me think of another one. At least one more, okay?
All right, but then we got to go.
Okay. Brie.
I was hoping you were going to say Brie. William is like Brie in that everybody thinks he's very fancy. But when confronted with him, they realize he's super disgusting. That's true about brie cheese, though, isn't it? Like, everybody's like, oh, it's so fancy. But then, and don't get me wrong, I've eaten brie cheese. I eat brie cheese.
Is it runny, kind of?
It's very soft. And it has a very, like, you know, people talk about the rind on cheese. You know that's mold. And people are like, oh, gross. Like, you can tell. Brie's fucked up. And don't get me wrong, I'll eat brie if it's there. It's still cheese. But, it's not right.
All right.
All right, so if you'd like to tell us what kind of cheese William is, or what kind of cheese you are, or what kind of cheese I am, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, write the hat. If you believe in the power of Christmas, write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, Merry Christmas, Hatters, and Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Yule, Happy Cheesemus. What kind of cheese are you? Happy Decemberween.
Oh, shoot. I'm...
Happy Festivus. Happy Chinese New Year, a little early.
I'm Hickory Farms kiosk cheese.
Nice. Your cheese log.
Whatever that is.
People keep giving you away as gifts, and nobody really wants you, but everybody has to pretend... Yeah, and I'm Summer Sausage. happy holidays, everybody. We love you.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.